Internet music broadcasters and the recording industry agreed on Sunday to settle their long-running dispute over how small webcasters must pay to broadcast songs over the internet, officials familiar with the negotiations said. The two sides in the debate over online music royalties agreed to set lower fees for small webcasters, who argued that heftier rates would have put their fledgling industry out of business. At issue are the small webcasters, typically companies and individuals whose operations are listener-supported and reach, at most, just a few thousand people. In June, the US's Copyright Office ruled that webcasters have to pay 70 cents for every song heard by 1,000 listeners. The fees were retroactive to 1998, and full payments of royalties for past years was due on 20 October. Neither side was happy with that decision, and they began trying to work out an alternative deal. The agreement, reached on Sunday, would provide significant discounts to small webcasters for both future and retroactive payments, said one official close to the negotiations, speaking on condition of anonymity. The proposed deal, which would supplant the Copyright Office's ruling, still must be approved by Congress. Under the deal, payments would be based on a percentage of a webcaster's revenue and include installment payment options, the official said. More details were not immediately available. Negotiations are continuing between the Digital Media Association, which represents larger webcasters, and the Recording Industry Association of America, said another official familiar with the talks. The larger webcasters had said the rates set by the Copyright Office would cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, more than they get from advertising or listener contributions. House Judiciary Committee Chairman James Sinsenbrenner, a Republican of Wisconsin, had introduced legislation to postpone the 20 October deadline for 6 months, but he pulled that bill last week, saying he expected a deal soon that could then be codified into law. The first mobile phones running Microsoft software are set to go on sale this month, marking a milestone in the software company's bid to break into the global cell phone market. Orange SA, the mobile unit of France Telecom SA, said it is planning to launch a phone running Microsoft software in the United Kingdom before the end of October. High-Tech Computer Corporation of Taiwan is manufacturing the phone. After more than a year of false starts and missteps, the planned launch is designed to give Microsoft a firmer toehold in the vast mobile phone market, which is currently dominated by handset makers such as Nokia Corporation. The software in the Orange phone, dubbed Smartphone 2002, is designed to turn mobile phones into mini-computers capable of surfing the full internet, playing video clips, and other multimedia applications. Microsoft is keen that mobile phones run its software to help underpin its big effort to develop technology that allows companies to offer services over the internet via a range of portable devices as well as personal computers. But Nokia, Motorola, and most other phone manufacturers have rebuffed the Redmond, Washington company, fearing that it may siphon off their profits and have developed their own software. Microsoft has turned to smaller manufacturers, such as HTC, to make the phones, and it's trying to persuade mobile phone operators, such as Orange, to put their brands on the phones. While personal organizers with built-in phones running Microsoft's Pocket PC software are already available in Europe, analysts say these devices are too expensive and bulky to attract most consumers. The Smartphone 2002 software, which is designed for devices that have phone-style keypads and are operated one-handed, is considered critical to Microsoft's hopes of breaking into the cell phone market. 321 Studios is set to release a product that it claims will allow consumers to make perfect copies of their DVDs, but before the product even hits the market, the startup must first weather a legal storm brewing in its path. The software maker plans to release on the 31st of October a product called DVD-X Copy, which allows users to create bit-for-bit copies of their DVDs using a standard recordable DVD drive, says company president Robert Moore. While the software promises to give consumers the same privileges they have for copying VHS movies, it's potentially against the law, according to industry experts. A US legislation called the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act deems it illegal to distribute tools that circumvent copyright prevention, technologies used to protect DVD content. That is what 321 Studio software does. Movies are stored on DVDs using an encryption technology called Content Scramble System, or CSS. 321 Studios has designed its software to copy a movie to blank DVDs using a freely available decryption technology called DCCS. At least two federal courts have already determined that it is illegal under the DMCA to distribute DCCS, says Fred von Rohmann, senior staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which specializes in fair use and intellectual property. While 321 Studios hasn't been asked to stop distributing an existing version of its software which allows users to copy a DVD onto a CD, Moore says he isn't waiting for a lawsuit to land in his lap. The company has taken a preemptive strike against its movie industry foes by filing a lawsuit aimed at protecting the software from being squashed. Moore and his lawyers argue that people should be able to create backup copies of their DVD movies, just as they can copy VHS movies or music CDs. It's a matter of fair use, they say. If a DVD is damaged, for example, a user should be able to own a backup copy. The DMCA, however, has so far hindered such technology from being distributed, and critics are attempting to get the legislation modified. Security flaws in the help facility of most versions of Microsoft Windows operating system could allow an attacker to take control of a user's PC, Microsoft warned late last Wednesday. All versions of the Windows operating system from Windows 98 up include a help function based on HTML. Much of its functionality is provided by an ActiveX control, a software component that can be called upon by a web page. An unchecked buffer in this control is what exposes the user's system, Microsoft says, in Security Bulletin MS02-055. The issue was rated critical by Microsoft because the help function can also be called by a website or HTML-based email, not just by applications on a user's PC. An attacker who invokes the help facility and exploits the flaw could take virtually any action on a PC a user could take, according to Microsoft. Users of Outlook 2002 or Outlook Express version 6 are protected from the email-based attack because those applications handle HTML email messages in a different manner. Users who installed the Microsoft-recommended Outlook email security patch are also protected, Microsoft says. A software patch is available to protect a system against a website attack. However, the computer needs to have Internet Explorer version 5.01, 5.5, or 6 installed for it to work, Microsoft says. The patch also eliminates two other flaws in the Windows help facility. These flaws relate to the way HTML help files are handled. These files can contain shortcuts that can take any action on a system. Only trusted files should be allowed to use these shortcuts, but the flaw allows a way around this restriction, Microsoft says. Microsoft rates these flaws moderate because staging an attack exploiting them would be tough. An attacker would have to know the location of a user's temporary Internet Files folder, which should be impossible. Applying the patch doesn't provide a new ActiveX control for the help function. It merely updates the old control to remove the vulnerabilities, Microsoft says. And this means that an attacker could remotely reinstall the vulnerable control because it still has a valid digital signature from Microsoft. This could be prevented by setting the so-called kill bit on the ActiveX control, disallowing Internet Explorer from ever invoking it. However, the kill bit isn't set because it would make help facilities in many applications that link to the old control unavailable. Microsoft acknowledges that an attacker could reintroduce the vulnerable control and suggests that users disable the downloading of ActiveX controls in Internet Explorer. to Britain now, and the BBC is to launch Freeview, its new digital terrestrial TV joint venture with Sky and transmission company Crown Castle at the end of this month. The service, which will replace that offered by the now defunct ITV Digital, will begin broadcasting a completed lineup of 30 channels on the 30th of October in what the BBC calls a fresh start for digital TV in the UK. Unlike ITV Digital, Freeview will not require a subscription and will be accessible by anyone with a digital TV or set-top box, and will launch, according to the BBC, after significant improvements have been made to the reliability and quality of the digital terrestrial TV signal. The three parties are also planning to market the service to retailers and the general public through a recently set up company named DTV Services. A spokesperson for the BBC said further details of marketing activity will be announced nearer the actual launch. The five top US distributors of compact discs and three large music retailers have agreed to pay $143 million in cash and CDs to settle charges they cheated consumers by fixing prices, authorities announced last Monday. The settlement brings to a close accusations made by attorneys general of 41 states and commonwealths who accused record companies of conspiring with music distributors to boost the prices of CDs between 1995 and 2000. The companies broke state and federal antitrust laws, costing consumers millions of dollars, the attorneys general had charged in a lawsuit filed in August 2000 in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan and later moved to Portland, Maine. A judge there must approve the deal. The settlement calls for $67.3 million cash to be distributed to the settling states to compensate consumers who overpaid for CDs during the period and to pay settlement administration costs and attorney's fees. Consumers who bought CDs between 1995 and 2000 could file claims for part of the fund, prosecutors said. Public announcements will be made later to inform consumers how to participate in the payout. The settlement also requires 5.5 million CDs, valued at $75.7 million, to be distributed to public entities and non-profit organizations in each state to promote music programs. The settlement will be distributed according to state population, although attorneys in the case are still working to determine a formula. New York, for example, will receive about 6% of the settlement. Consumers in all 50 states will benefit under terms of the settlement, New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer said in a statement. Satellite radio broadcaster XM Satellite Radio Holdings Incorporated on Tuesday reported a subscription count in line with its own forecasts and said it was on track to hit its year-end expectations. Washington-based XM reported 201,500 subscribers as at the end of the third quarter, just slightly ahead of its target of 200,000. The total figure excludes 16,440 demonstration, promotional, and employee accounts, XM said. The company also says it remains on track to report 350,000 subscribers by the end of calendar year 2002. And finally, around 44% of Americans believe that individuals have a better chance of meeting a partner online than in a singles bar. A further 8% of Americans report that individuals have as much chance of meeting someone via the net as they do of meeting them in a singles bar. Over 30% of Americans think that a relationship initiated online has a better chance of success than one initiated in a bar, while 8% feel that it has an equal chance of success. However, while a large number of Americans believe that online dating has more chance of success than relationships initiated in a singles bar, only 27% of Americans would recommend it to single pals as an alternative way of meeting other people. And that's News Briefs for this week.